The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who is from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat, but if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father who will honor whoever serves me. I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd there heard it and said it was thunder, but others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this indicating the kind of death he would die. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
Good morning. I really feel a need in my heart to express a thank you to all of you, and not just those who are in the 9 a.m. Mass or those watching on live stream, but truly just to thank you for your personal prayers for me. And I say that truly because yesterday I just about passed from this life into eternal life. And I say that not as a joke or to start the thing, but literally just about died yesterday morning. You see, I was leaving Charlotte to go up early, thanks to Father Rudolph and Father Ernest too. It took three priests to go up there to be able to hear the confessions and to be with the 80 middle schoolers that are on retreat. And so I was going up there for confessions, and then after confessions, sticking around for lunch, just a ministry of presence. There are amazing adults there helping out, young adults helping out, high school students mentoring them. I mean, it was just a witness, be a fly on the wall in that moment. Go to lunch with them, celebrate Mass for them, and then have adoration for them, and then drive home. And I got finished up the evening about 11 o'clock last night. And that's kind of a normal cycle for when there's a retreat. I don't have an opportunity to stay overnight, and there's more than enough people up there with them doing it the right way. And it's so beautiful to see. So beautiful to see. But yesterday morning, I got up early, and I drove off like maybe many of you, maybe when you hit the highway and you get on the road, I mean, you don't think about it. A cup of coffee early in the morning and put in your center console, and you're driving hands-free and trying to do a little work with things in the parish on the way up, talking to a wonderful parishioner, you know, just about some things that are important in their life, someone whose father passed away and was looking for some counsel on that. And so I'm just driving along normally, and it's the moment where I just have on I-85, the cup of coffee in my right hand, and my hand firmly on the wheel this way, and watching the road, keeping my distance, doing 70 miles an hour, roughly the speed limit. And out of nowhere, thank you, Jesus, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, I happened to look up in my rearview mirror, and I'm not exaggerating, as close as I am to this Ambo, so much so that you don't even see the hood of the car, I had a car that was going anywhere from 90 to 100 miles an hour directly behind me. It was inches and seconds away from losing my life. I don't know if it was my guardian angel. I don't know if it was just my calm. I was drinking my second cup of coffee, so I wasn't too calm. But I took my hand and I didn't go overboard this way, but I went just enough to move about 10 feet into the next lane. But the problem was when I looked to my blind spot in a fraction of a second, as I moved 10 feet to the lane to the left, a minivan with a family was driving next to me, and I became inches from plowing them. And thank you, Jesus, that person went 10 feet to their left, and there was nobody in the far left lane. And the person behind me screeched their wheels, pulled out of the way, just missed the right side of my car, flew up, but then proceeded 100 miles an hour up that right-hand lane so fast that a half a mile down the road almost slammed into the back of another person who got out of the person's way. Now, I'm not picking on Delaware, but they had Delaware tags, okay? I saw that navy blue tag with the yellow writing, okay? New York is yellow with blue writing, right? I didn't see the tag, but I was like, wow. And I'm talking to the person on the phone, and thank you, Jesus, he was emergency room doctor, parishioner. I'm like, I just about died there. But then as my heart calmed down and I got off the phone and I put the coffee off to the side and I took two hands on the wheel, checked my rear view mirror again, my heart was kind of moved for pity for that person. Because in my heart, I'm kind of like, Lord, let me pray for that person. Because that person, for whatever reason, whatever they got going on in their life, they are searching. They're searching for something. And that searching may be leading them to a certain degree of recklessness, a certain degree of whatever, but they're searching for something. And I just prayed that there wouldn't be an accident a little later down the road. So thank you for your prayers, because I think it's your prayers and prayers of many parishioners, one parishioner in particular, who I'll speak at the end, towards the end of this 45-minute homily, okay, who's not with us today, who probably was her prayers. You know, there's a big buzz going around today, maybe a chatter amongst people talking around the breakfast table. For sure, depending on if you watch the golf channel or a little bit of basketball or whatever else is going on in this time. Or if you're just out and about, you may visibly see it without even talking to anybody. And that's the green, and that's St. Patrick's Day. I mean, everybody's buzzing about that. It's St. Patrick's Day, which is great. But what's it about? What's it truly about? It's a man who lived in time, born in 385 AD, who died in 461 AD, who lived approximately, I believe, 76 years of life, and he died. But it's about a man, if you know his life, who was what? Searching. St. Patrick, before he was St. Patrick, was searching. He was struggling. He was searching for all kinds of stuff in all kinds of stuff other than God. And it was through being put in prison and all this other stuff and the different things that he had, all these things that actually in the midst of his searching, he found God. And God found him in the midst of his cross. And thank you, Jesus, St. Patrick followed the voice of the Good Shepherd. St. Patrick followed this Jesus. And how do we know he followed him? Because he lived a holy life and he led many people who also in his time were searching to find truly what all people are searching for. A God who loves them, who will provide meaning and purpose to their life, and above all, will provide meaning and purpose to the cross that they carry and the suffering they bear. He's finished his journey. His time on this earth has ended, and he stepped into eternal life. That's the glory of St. Patrick's Day, that we have a real live person, not a leprechaun, but a real live person who's praying for us, interceding for us as we pray for each other. We can see that unpacked in the gospel today. What happens? The Greeks come and they meet Andrew and them, and they're asking him, Philip, and say, hey, we want to see Jesus. And they, through their intercessory action, take them, the Greeks, to Jesus. And Jesus goes about and talks about a little bit about his life and who he is. And he basically says, where I am, my followers, my servants will be, my friends will be. Where I am, for sure, heaven one day. That's our end goal. But he also said very clearly, where I am, my followers will be. And he goes on to say, when I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. Because everyone is searching. Everyone, no matter where they are in life, has a cross and a burden and sorrows and a desire for purpose. Deacon Michael, I don't get a chance to speak as much in front of the parish about the good that Deacon Michael does in a hidden way for our parish. In the past 3 years, he was assigned full-time pastoral care clergy. We have 9 independent living centers in this parish of ours. He wears out the tires on his car and he visits our homebound. He visits our beloved seniors in the independent living. He visits those who are in the hospital, and he is a out front St. Patrick type, leading the way, finding those who are suffering, who are in need, who are away from this gathering that we experience every Sunday. And Deacon Michael, I thank you for that. And I remember a little over a week ago, he called me and me like he does, kind of like he's special forces out in front. We're soldiers for Christ. Father, I need you, let's go. Let's go see. And I know she wouldn't mind, and I know her daughter wouldn't mind, and they may even be watching on live stream, Virginia. And y'all here in the front row who are at the Carriage Club too know what I'm talking about, Virginia. Virginia, who sat in this front row, over 100 years old of age, full of joy. Virginia is now in hospice. Deacon Michael and I went to go see her. She got all that the church wants to offer her in that moment, renewed her baptismal promises, which we'll all do or have an opportunity to do this Easter, the bookends of our Christian life, not only at the baptismal font, not only at our confirmation, the fullness of baptism, but above all, when we're getting ready to step from this life into eternity. But her daughter said to me, and she wouldn't mind me saying this to you, there's a struggle sometimes in that moment. And the moment struggle is, what's my purpose? I'm in hospice. I'm laying on my bed. And I feel like I've lost a purpose to life. I have a question for you, and it's one for me. When did the purpose of Jesus' life on this earth cry out the loudest? When was the purpose of Jesus' life on this earth fulfilled? On the cross. On the cross. That's why in that moment of great grace to be with Virginia, I looked at her and said, Virginia, you got a purpose like no other. You got a pulpit like no other. You are preaching like no other because you're on your cross. And as pastor of this 4,000 household parish, which is a big weight that's been entrusted to me by our beloved bishop, which was so good to him, and I love being here. Virginia, pray for me. And not on me, pray for all our parishioners, above all those especially in a special need, because your prayers are powerful. You know, it's the Virginias of our world right now that are the St. Patricks of our time, the Mother Cabrinis of our time, the St. John Boscos and the St. Philip Neris and the St. Therese of Lisieux of our time. They're hidden. They're out of our sight. But they're servants of Jesus. And where Jesus is, they are. Amidst being on their cross, they know the Lord's with them. My brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Passion Tide Sunday. It may seem a little weird with the covering of the statues, but the purpose for that is to shock us a bit so that we recall that next week we step into Palm Sunday, and then we step into the holiest week in the church liturgical calendar, Holy Week, in which Jesus goes into Jerusalem, Jesus pours out his heart at the Last Supper, Jesus sweats blood in the Garden of Gethsemane with our altar of repose on Thursday night, Jesus dies on the cross on Good Friday. Jesus is laid in the tomb in the silence of Holy Saturday. And we know the end of the story. Jesus rises from the dead. My invitation to you and also to me, because I can just live it and go through the motions. But the invitation is this. Let's truly live it, no matter where we are this Holy Week. Live it with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Talk to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. And let Jesus teach us how to be his followers, like St. Patrick, in this life, with our hearts and our minds set on the next life. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Amen.